Well, if I know you the way I think I do, last week's sermon is in your memories like it's etched in stone. Am I right about that? And you're remembering that we talked about how angels, feature prominently throughout the Bible. You certainly remember that. From the beginning to the end, angels feature prominently throughout the Bible, sometimes on a kind of a one-on-one individual basis, but other times in large companies of angels. At one point, 100 million angels at one time. Angels are spirits made by God for the purpose of watching over us and helping us. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, they call them ministering spirits, sent to serve us. Sent by whom? Sent by God. Now here's a question to ponder. Do each of us have an individually assigned guardian angel? Think so? A lot of people think so. Maybe. You hope so, yeah. Jesus said in Matthew 18 that his children have angels in heaven. Yeah, are they individually assigned? Maybe so. I don't know. I'm not sure. But whether or not we each have our own personal guardian angel, and we may, what is clear, very clear in the Bible, is that God can send as many angels as he wants, wherever, whenever, and to whomever he wants. He can make as many as he wants. And it seems as though often the primary job of the angels is to guard and to comfort those of us here on earth. You know, living here in a complicated, challenging, and even at times scary world. As the author of Hebrews said it, their job is to minister to us, to give us pastoral care. And I would suggest saying it this way. Their job is to reduce our fear. You'll remember this. Fear not. Do not be afraid. In the Bible, these are almost always the first words the angels say. Yeah, they try to comfort us, help us, and reduce our fear. Now, notice that. Notice they're not necessarily eliminating the source of the fear. They're not eliminating necessarily the source of the trouble. Maybe you wish they would, but that's not what they do, not necessarily. Yes, sometimes we pray for a cure, for instance, and the illness goes away. That's true. But sometimes what? Sometimes it does not. Was the prayer not answered in that case? Or was it answered and the cure perhaps was heaven? You say, well, that's not the answer I wanted. No. But sometimes, let's face it, heaven is the answer. Sometimes heaven is the cure. And ultimately, it's a pretty good answer, right? It's a great answer, ultimately. And in this physical reality of life on earth, we're not in heaven yet. Illness, violence, flooding and drowning will occur. So are the angels there in vast numbers at those moments to comfort, to minister, to wipe away the tears and fears, and guide you lovingly from one side to the other? Yeah, I think so. I think that's the message. That's what the Bible is telling us. I think so, yes. Yeah, angels are with us. They're among us, and they're sent to us. And they are everywhere, everywhere throughout the Bible. But perhaps nowhere do they feature more prominently than in the story of the first Christmas. You know, it's described in our reading today, and it's described in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. That very first Christmas story over 2,000 years ago began not with the birth and the nativity, not even with the Immaculate Conception. No, it began before the conception. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel paid a visit to a young girl named Mary in the town of Nazareth. And he said to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary," called her by name. "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." And then later, her betrothed, a man named Joseph, found her to be pregnant. Yeah. He wasn't necessarily so happy about that. But in Matthew chapter 1, it says that an angel of the Lord appeared to him and explained it to him, right? And said, "Joseph, do not be afraid. What is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus." And so, when the time came, Mary and Joseph traveled to a little town of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born and placed in a manger. And immediately, an angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds out in the fields. And what'd they say? "Do not be afraid," right? "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news." And suddenly it says in Luke chapter 2, a great company of angels appeared, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. Now some of you will know, in military terms, a company is a measurable group of soldiers, maybe 100 or as many as 200 or so soldiers. That would be a company of soldiers. But in this biblical context, a great company of angels is translated as meaning a myriad, an immeasurable, uncountable number. That's what a great company of angels would mean. Uncountable. So in other words, think of it. The sky was filled with angels. The place was filled with them, singing and celebrating. How's that for a picture? And so if you picture that, isn't that really what you think of as Christmas? Isn't that the spirit of Christmas, the Christmas spirit? And isn't that why, I mean, let's face it, we all love Easter, right? We all love our Easter. That's true. But isn't Christmas kind of our favorite holiday? Bear. Come on. I mean, it's hard to beat, right? The birth of Jesus, you know, new life, new hope, joy to the world, all that. Presents and stuff. It's all true. It's all true. And so we remember it all today with joy and gratitude during this Christmas in July celebration. Okay, but this year in the summer of 2025, we're going to also remember something else. And we heard about it today in our gospel reading. It's another part of the Christmas story that we typically don't spend much time on, and I can see why. I can understand why. Because whereas the Christmas story brings with it, you know, really one of the most joyous events in the Bible, and really in history, in all of history, it also includes one of the darkest and most evil events anyone could even imagine. It's not hard to believe that it happened. It happened. But it's sort of amazing that Matthew included it in his Christmas story. It's right there in the middle of it. The event is known as the death of the innocents, or sometimes even the slaughter of the innocents. You heard it. King Herod was so threatened by a baby being born as king of the Jews that he, chapter 2, verse 16, quote, gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity under the age of 2. Now, for baby Jesus, an angel appeared to Joseph and warned him to take his family and escape to Egypt. And so they did. But what about the rest of them? What about the other families, right? The other babies, the other baby boys. Well, here the Bible just refers to an old prophecy from Jeremiah that says, there was weeping and great mourning, weeping for the children. Now, historians estimate that based on small size of Bethlehem in the vicinity, it wasn't big, there were probably 20 to 30 baby boys killed during King Herod's slaughter of the innocents. Were angels with them, with those babies, to help them, calm them, guide them from life to heaven? Yeah, I think so, right? You have to believe it. You have to believe so. But God didn't stop it. Didn't stop it from happening. It happened. Because this is the world. And the world kills babies. Does it not? So there it is. Right there in the middle of our Christmas story. Like a big party pooper. The event was there to ruin and spoil everything. That was Herod's objective. He wanted to ruin and spoil everything, to stop everything. And that, I think, is the point of it, the lesson, the reason that Matthew included it right there in the story. Because it ruined nothing. It spoiled nothing. With all respect to the grieving families, it spoiled things for them, that's for sure. I understand that. But think of it. It accomplished nothing. Not from Herod's perspective, not from the devil's perspective. Christmas is still Christmas. The greatest celebration of joy to the world. Christmas lives on 2,000 years later. And so in July of the year 2025, you know, a time when we celebrate the 4th of July, right? And the greatest country in the history of the world. It's a time of celebration. But we too were and are faced with the death of innocence this year. The unimaginable loss of young children in floods in Texas. And as in the Bible, we grieve and we mourn and we weep for the children. How can you not? But because of the promise of the Bible, and because of our faith, and because of their faith, we know they did not die alone. They did not die in fear. And they are now safely in the arms of a loving God. Amen.